Talking with TD.
Touchdown Tennessee.
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut up, Teron.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. Yes, yes, it is another week. We are off of the bye week and rolling into week 8. Your Tennessee Titans are set to face the Atlanta Falcons. We'll get into that matchup with ESPN NFL Nation Falcons reporter Michael Rothstein. We got Run TMC to get into. A lot to talk about in that segment with Forever Titans receiver Chris Sanders. We got David James.
Yes, sir.
Over there making it happen. And we also have two quarterbacks who could be playing in Sunday's game against the Falcons. That's where we'll start. The latest report, Ian Rappaport had posted that Will Levis is set to be the starter. Some of the things that you kind of see just as far as like reps in practice during individual period could point to that, but Mike Vrabel, he put water all over that fire when he was asked about the quarterback situation. Obviously, we know Ryan Tannehill is in his situation. As far as recovering from his ankle, he was in a cast over that weekend and then in a boot and then on a scooter. And he is now walking around the facility with a sleeve on his lower right leg, but without the aid of crutches, without the aid of a scooter or anything like that. He was on the field watching, not in uniform or anything like that, but well, he said he planned to be on the field after he got treatment. And that was the plan for Wednesday. I obviously don't think he's playing. He did reveal that the surgery that he had last year as far as the suture that was put in is still in place, and it kind of made it to where the ankle was a little bit better supported during the high ankle sprain. So that is a good thing. Things are trending in the right direction. But in the meantime, as was reported, Will Levis will be the starter. Mike Vrabel was asked about that Wednesday, and he didn't seem to jive with that.
I never said that Will was going to be the starter. Both of them will play if Ryan can't. We'll see how Ryan feels. He may do a little bit of work later in practice today. But that's how we are. That's where we're at right now.
Folks, this is what we have to kind of sort through. All right, this is one or two things. Or one or three things. They may not know, period. And Vrabel was asked about being able to decipher who is better at this point, and he said he's just not ready to do that. So if you can't decipher who's better, you probably can't decipher who's going to be the starter on Sunday. It could be that. It could be he really legit is like, hey, I'm going to employ two quarterbacks, and it would be alternating series, possibly. I'm not sure. He hinted at that. I could see if there was a situation where you had one guy play and then you had a package of plays for the other one. I think that would be more the case if Levis was the starter and you packaged some things for Willis. But Levis in the locker room said, everything Malik could do, I could do, and vice versa. So I don't know what option to, you know, it would be interesting. I remember Steve Spurrier did that with Doug Johnson and Jesse Palmer, and that one didn't really work out too well at University of Florida. But nevertheless, it could also be this gamesmanship. He doesn't want to give the Falcons any idea who to prepare for. That could also be the case. I don't know what to make of it, but Will Levis, he's had a period where he was able to kind of, and Willis as well, they had periods where they were able to kind of prepare for this moment. This is Will Levis on the preparation during the time when he was on scout team.
Good. I mean, it means a lot that he, you know, cares about our development, and it's nice to be able to get in on, you know, our off days and do things that help us better prepare us for when our name gets called. So he's thinking of things as well as all the other coaches to try to keep us involved as much as possible.
What would you say are some of like the areas where you've made steps forward?
I mean, I just say comfortability with the playbook. I mean, just knowing what we're looking for with the different concepts we have. Obviously, right now it's game plan wise, we have specific game plan, specific plays, but also we always talk about going back to the core knowledge of what we kind of installed through training camp and how we have those two different types of plays in game plan. And I feel really comfortable about, you know, all the stuff we put in throughout camp. And then also every week we're learning new plays too. So tuning into those small details and the things we haven't learned yet, but I feel good about everything that we've had in.
So that was Will Levis. Yo, it's a party sometimes in that Titans locker room, man. They had that We Want Easy playing, and I just cringed because, you know, anytime that group NWA is on, you know profanity is coming. So I'm like, man, this is going to be a good video. Please, please don't play that. And they didn't. But you saw what he said about the preparation that they're going through. And what they would do also is after practice, they would work with some of the guys like Colton Dow, Treshawn Harrison, Shai Smith, Mason Kinsey, you know, guys that weren't likely to play on Sundays. They would work together and go through the game plan and things like that. So that was the way of preparation for them. So I think that's a really good thing. But neither one of these guys have been told who's going to be the starter. And I think that's something that kind of is interesting because you've got two young guys. I mean, you got a second-year guy in Malik Willis, a rookie in Will Levis, and I know in talking to Willis, I asked him a bit about how things changed from last year to this year. And obviously, it was only two drives he had against Baltimore. It was two-minute situation. Like, everything was, you know, it's different. But that being said, you're still on the football field. He wouldn't really get into comparing those reps with the previous reps as far as, like, whether or not it's helped him process faster or, you know, if the game slowed down. And that's something that I'm curious about because just like anything, the more you do it, the better you are at just being able to know what's going on and just process everything that's happening. And obviously the quarterback position, there's so many things going on. So I would imagine that every time you play, there's some improvement as far as being able to just put it all together and know what's happening. But I don't know if that was the case. I would like to assume it was for Willis, but he didn't really say. Levis, in the meantime, also touched on the things that are going on now as far as how he's getting ready and just the opportunity to possibly start his first game.
It's been good. I mean, just treating it like any other week, we're able to, you know, create like preaches that we prepare as starters every week regardless of what position or opportunity we have. So, if my name gets called, I'll be ready to go. But it's been a good week so far. Just got to keep building.
What kind of work were you able to get in last week? Coach Vrabel said that you and Malik were getting a throw with trailing and some of the things like that.
Yeah. I mean, I think our bye week might look a little different from other teams because we stand and we get a lot of good work in. And I think with the potential opportunity coming up, that was big for us to get those reps with guys that, you know, we haven't been able to have too many with up to this point. So confidence building for sure.
So you – little nugget in there, right? Treylon Burks, he threw with Willis and Levis during the bye week. Burks was a participant in practice on Wednesday as well. So you do have that. That's a good look for the Titans, you know, getting him back. And that's something to definitely take solace in because there's a lot that has been going on, as you know, with this team. And we'll get into that a bit later. But first things first, I mean, you got the Atlanta Falcons are coming to town. And I tell you, their 12 personnel package with Jonnu Smith and Kyle Pitts. I mean, that's a matchup issue. And now you have a guy in Kevin Byard who's no longer on the team. He was somebody that really helped out a lot when it came to matching up with tight ends. In the last couple of years, that coverage wasn't as sticky as it had been before, you know, that man-to-man coverage. But it's still having a top-level defender back there help. He's not there now. So how are you going to stop, like, that vertical passing game? You look at that corner route that Kyle Pitts ran to set up that field goal against the Bucks. I mean, that's a viable thing that you have to be concerned about. And then on top of that, you got Drake London out there. I mean, this dude, he got hops, man. He'll go up and get the ball. He's fast. He's, you know, contested catches are his specialty. So that's another thing that they'll have to work with, and we'll just see how that continues to happen. But, you know, you look on top of that, the main thing, the main attraction Bijan Robinson. And that's what the Titans really have to contend with. And this is another guy that could run the football really well. He's an option out of the backfield. He could pretty much do it all. And I remember him coming out. That was the thing. You know, Emory Hunt football game plan, you know, he had pointed out how naturally he catches the football. You saw that on his combine drills and during the pro day as well. He's going to be a problem. Mike Vrabel, in fact, he acknowledged that, and he saw just, you know, some of the things in watching him, his exposure, as he mentioned, to Robinson this season. He saw some of the stuff that this guy is able to do, or is capable of doing. And it goes beyond that, right? You got your package of plays, and this is something Arthur Smith, he always is good at having, you know, a package of plays for various guys, you know, on the team, you know, as you have an assortment of weapons. And that's what you're going to get from the Falcons. Defensively, it's an interesting situation. Jesse Bates at safety, you know, Richie Grant. I mean, they have a lot of good players. A.J. Terrell is a top-level corner. Bud Dupree is coming back, you know, so you'll get to see him. Arnold Ebiketie, you know, Calais Campbell, he always plays the Titans tough. This is a really good matchup. But as we touched on some of the things going on here, matter of fact, let's go ahead and hit it, man. We're going to roll into the second part of this.
Hey, man, this is Kevin Byard, and I'm talking with TD.
How do I say goodbye?
You know, I wasn't going to get on here and not talk about Kevin Byard, man. Get his own little music, man. It's a sad thing. We talking about a guy, and it really hit on Wednesday, getting the roster. You know, you scroll through. I was looking for Terrell Edmonds' new number, but just the fact that this is the first Titans roster I've had in my hand that didn't have 31 Kevin Byard on there. Ooh, it's a hurt piece, and there's a lot that I know fans are really disgusted about it, but, you know, this is the business of the NFL. Byard was going to get $19 million next year, and I just don't think that that's a number that they were going to be able to stomach. They added a good $5 to $6 million in cap space. They are now, I believe, at $99 million to spend next year, which is, in my estimation, the second most out of all teams. Rand Carthon will be able to add some more impactful free agents that he did this year. So there's some clearance there, obviously. But, you know, you lose a player like Kevin Byard at 2-4, you're still in the division. Like, this AFC South is not – like, the Jaguars are two games ahead of you. You got two games against them. Now, granted, you know, they managed to get wins against the Bills, right? They managed to get – you know, a win against who was the other team that they – Jacksonville, they haven't played the Ravens yet, I don't believe. There was another team that they beat. They had a big win recently regardless. But, you know, these are games where when you're comparing the schedule first place to second place, you're like, okay, they got a game against the Bills. They're going to have to face the Chiefs. They're going to have to, you know – it's tough. It's supposed to be different. But nevertheless, Kevin Byard is what I want to focus on here. And I think when you look at the legacy that he's left behind, it speaks for itself. But I'm going to allow Derrick Henry to speak for it also.
I think he's probably one of the greatest Titans to play. I think his play and what he's done in the community and, you know, how he treats everybody in the building and around here, I mean, I think it speaks for itself. It definitely remembered around here and the impact he had on everybody around here. I think that's unprecedented. I think he's one of the greats. So I'm definitely going to miss him. But like, in the day, still my brother no matter what.
And then one more on it, Amani Hooker. I thought he put it pretty well also.
Obviously, it sucks, you know, losing a guy like that, a leader on this team, not just the defense. He's been a guy that I admired when I first came into the league. I looked up to him ever since I've been here, just as far as he carries himself on and off the field in the community. So it definitely hurts our team losing him, but we got a job to do.
So to Hooker's point, it's a leader on the full team. You saw how Derrick Henry spoke about him, you know. So it's very clear that it's a loss that they'll have to get over. But, you know, in some cases, this is an opportunity where guys could rally around something and it could be a spark. And that's the way that they have to look at it. They are taking the business approach. But, man, Kevin Byard to the Philadelphia Eagles. He was born in Philadelphia. This is a guy. He wore number 20 at MTSU. Really, really liked Ed Reed, Brian Dawkins. Troy Polamalu was his favorite safety. But, man, it's got to be dope for him to – I could only imagine him being in the NovaCare Center and they bring B-Dawk in, Brian Dawkins, and, like, that conversation. It's got to be a – man, I would love to be a fly on the wall and hear that. But he's reunited, right? A.J. Brown, Marcus Mariota, Zach Cunningham. There's a bunch of guys that have Titans ties, obviously, and the Eagles – they're a really good team. Hopefully for Kevin Byard's sake, they win a chip. You know, I would definitely like to see him be able to go out like that. And, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if the Eagles keep him around, you know, for a few more years. Like, his career is not over. But neither is this show. We're going to keep things rolling, go into a break, but we will be right back with Run TMC. Always fun times there. Let's see who I bring Chris Sanders in as the intro, too. We'll be right back.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
Run, DMC. For you. Fresh.
Strength.
There they go. Ooh, turn it up. Turn it down. As the music fades, the lights dim. Where are we going? And now, for your Milwaukee Bucks. Starting at power forward from DePaul University, number 34, Terry Cummings.
And now, the starting linebacker for the Washington Commanders, Wilbur Marshall. You do it like Wilbur Marshall, man.
No, you know what? I'll add another one. Starting at linebacker.
Oh, no.
For the Cleveland Browns, number 52, Pepper Johnson.
Hey, you know why they say to Wilbur Marshall? Because Wilbur Marshall, when he played, he always played in the cold, and his lips was always ashy. So when we're out in practice and it's cold, somebody has ashy lips, they're like, man, you got a Wilbur Marshall.
You need all this laughing, man, to start the show,
man,
with a week like this, man.
I know. It's been crazy.
Lord have mercy. I had the shirt on right now a couple yeah. years ago, a couple right. summers, not this summer, but last summer before that. Kevin Byard had a camp, and they gave him – it was in Murfreesboro, and the mayor of Murfreesboro gave him the key to the city. But I got the shirt, Kevin Byard football camp. You know what I mean? KB.
As real
as they get.
Hey, can we have a two-second silence for my man? Okay, we good.
Hey,
let me tell you something. I don't just love the football player. I love the man that he is. I mean, I just kind of did some research and the stuff that he did. He's just not a football player. He's a philanthropist. He's a guy who does stuff in the community. He started a foundation called Family Legacy Fund.
Yes.
You know, helping families to maximize their light and help them in need. That just shows you he's using his platform not to just help himself, but to help others. That's what this community is going to miss.
Yeah, they're absolutely going to miss that. And, I mean, the leadership, just the everything. I mean, I don't know a single person. Literally, I don't know. I have not come across a single person that had a bad thing to say about Kevin Byard.
Nothing.
I don't think there's a person on this planet that does. And if they do, then, hey, you're one of one. But nevertheless, in the locker room, I don't know if you've experienced anything like that, you know, losing one of the top guys like that. But how does that, how is that received in the locker room?
It's hard. And the one guy the situation kind of happened when I was with the Tennessee Titans was, the linebacker, I forgot his name, that got cut. I lost track of his name, but he's one of the guys that was in the locker room that everybody respected. And then all of a sudden, we walk in the locker room and he's packing his bags. Mm. He's packing his bags, and all of a sudden you're like, man, this is a guy I built a relationship with. This is a guy that made everybody better on the defense, but also on the offense. But then also in the locker room, he made everybody feel comfortable. He made everybody have fun. And when you have a situation like that, when you have a guy that was an impact player, but also an impact guy in the locker room, it's just a tough, tough deal.
Yeah.
Randall Godfrey.
Okay, yeah. Yes. I remember.
Randall Godfrey.
Little linebacker, but he was a horse.
But he'll run through your mustache. He
sure will. That's crazy. Yeah. That's funny, man. But yeah, it is wild. So when you look at this team, trading Kevin Byard, the team captain, they're 2-4. Ryan Tannehill is very unlikely to play. Are they throwing in the towel? Stop the fight. Are they doing that?
You know how big he is. You know how strong he is. You can't. See, you're trying to egg me out, man. But I don't know if they're throwing in a towel. I just think they just got to make some tough decisions. And here's a thing that you can maybe help me answer. The deadline wasn't till the 31st. Why would they do it now? Why couldn't they say, okay, you know what, let's see if we can get another win and try to get this thing on track? I think the gray area in that aspect right there has me to cause a concern. Did he ask for a trade, or did they say they want to trade him to get more draft picks? That's the gray area that I need to be answered.
Yeah, I highly doubt KB asked for a trade.
Right. That's. Yeah.
I think it was just one of those situations where it's like, all right, look, man, this is – and you know it was out there, right, because – The Eagles, you know, Howie Roseman. Like, look, I'm going to say this. If I'm a GM, Howie Roseman calls me, I'm just leaving that thing. I'm not picking the phone up, man. Like, I'm just not going to pick it up, man. Like, go ahead somewhere, man. No. You know what I mean? But nevertheless, you know the Eagles were hot for a safety because it was out there. Every outlet had it out there that they were, you know, looking for help in the secondary. So I think it was one of those things where it's like, okay, this is what we could give you. If you take it, cool. If not, we're going to move on to our next option. And I think that's really what it boiled down to.
But you're talking about, this is not just a guy now. This is an impact player. I mean, you're looking at a secondary that's struggling. You're looking at a secondary that makes sure they communicate and be in the right spot. And he was one of those guys that got them in the right spot. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you look at the secondary, how many interceptions do they have on a season? One. And that's by Button. That's Murphy, Sean Murphy Button. Only one interception. And I think that, you know, you want to try to keep Byard because at any moment he can make some plays to turn the season around. If you look at last year when everybody was hurt against Dallas, everybody was telling him to sit out. He's like, no, I'm playing. And he gets two or three interceptions and almost wins the game for the Tennessee Titans. So I just think it's disappointing, you know, but at the end of the day, it's a business and you have to take the motions out of it.
So where did the Titans go from here?
I mean, they got the guy from Philly, Terrell Edmonds. I know a little bit about him. All I know is he has 20 solo tackles and one interception. But you're talking about trying to replace a two-time Pro Bowler, you know, a guy who took two pay cuts to make other guys get signed. He's a stand-up guy. He makes sure everybody plays calm on the defense. I don't know, because if the rush doesn't get there with Simmons and Autry and Weaver, if they don't get there, the back end can struggle. Now you got a guy that's an impact player. You take him out and you put Edmonds in. I don't know what's going to happen. It may work out and it may not.
I tell you this, Edmonds reminds me, and it's funny, I thought of it today, you know, seeing him in his uniform. He wears number 38, and he got dreads flowing out. He's more of a box guy. As I was thinking about it and watching him kind of move around, I said, yo, this dude reminds me of Deshaun Golson. I don't know if you remember him from the 49ers.
Yeah, I remember him.
But Golson was a little more rangy and more of a wig splitter, but I mean, just as far as like towards the tail end of Golson's career, that's who I think Edmonds is a lot like, just being more of a guy in the box. I want to ask you this, though. Elijah Molden, where do you think he falls in the hole?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think you put him at the nickel, but I think the free safety, you put Amani Hooker. I mean, Amani Hooker's a ball hawk. Mm-hmm. I mean, He's a guy that's going to make interceptions. If you look at 2 years ago when they played the Cincinnati Bengals, who made an impact play to turn the, almost turn the game around? It was Amani Hooker. So maybe put him in that one safety high. But I don't know what they're going to do with Mona. I don't know what they're going to do with Terrell Edmonds. I don't know what they're going to do. So, you know, I think that the defensive coordinator, Shane Bowen's got to make sure that he puts his guy, don't put these guys in harm's way, because you better believe they got some dogs on this Atlanta Falcons team. I mean, you got Drake London, you got, you know, Hodges, you got Hollis. I mean, those two guys you don't really know, but then you got Kyle Pitts, you got Jonnu Smith, who we're talking about. So they got some players that can run now. So these guys in the secondary are going to have to make sure they match up and try to cover these guys.
Yeah, Mac Hollins is a big receiver, and he's a guy, like, every once in a while, he had a beautiful game against the Titans last year. You know,
yeah,
he's
right
at the Raiders, you know what I mean?
Right.
And very explosive. So that is something. But you mentioned Drake London. I want to get your take on Drake London real quick, because after that, we got to get into these quarterbacks.
Yeah, I know. I like him. I mean, he's got 32 catches, 383 yards. I mean, the one thing I love about him, you remember when they were coming out the draft, we were talking about him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were talking about him, a good route runner, a guy who catches the ball. And the one thing I love about him also, he's athletic now.
Yeah,
I mean, that dude's very athletic. He's jumping over people. He's got good feet as a line of scrimmage. You know, so, you know, I don't know who the Titans are going to put on him, but he's a good, good player. And also, too, I'm looking at the roster. I didn't know Van Jefferson is there.
Yeah, they traded for him.
That's right. So if he gets hot, yikes.
Yeah, no, yikes. Is a good word. And speaking of yikes, man, Mike Vrabel on Wednesday, he said that they may alternate series with the quarterbacks. All right, just help me out here, man. Like, what's that? Talk to me.
I mean, I this is just my opinion. I think you start with Malik Willis, and if he struggles, and then you put Levis in. But I think Malik Willis has earned it. I think that you can't go by what he did the first game, you know, against the Baltimore Ravens. I mean, he's coming to a pressure situation. Give him the start. And the reason why I say give him the start is because he has more experience than Levis right now. I mean, if you look at it in the preseason, you know, Malik Willis played in three preseason games. Levis played one. So even though that seems like a minute thing, is Will Levis doesn't have that much experience or that many reps of understanding how to play the game in the NFL. So start Malik Willis. If he struggles, then put Will Levis in, and then from there, I don't know what you do.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting seeing how all that works out. I just don't know about alternating series. I actually think that it'll be just some of the things seen in practice and just, yeah, I think Levis is going to get the start if Tannehill doesn't play, which is very likely. Treylon Burks came back. What did Treylon Burks do? We just saw him just in some individual period, but no signs of anything being different. What does the addition of, I'm talking about different from, you know, before he was injured.
Correct.
What does the addition of Burks do for this offense?
I mean, he's going to have to make some plays downfield. And also, you know, Burks can be that safety valve. When I say a safety valve, to where if they go man-to-man outside and he goes a three-step drop, Will Levis or Malik Willis, he can just throw the ball up and let him go up and make a catch. So that can be a safety valve. But the one thing that I'm kind of concerned about is you're not in game shape because you missed a couple of games. And also, you know, before you got hurt, you were dropping a lot of balls. He's got to be consistent. So I want to see him come in there, be consistent, make some plays, and be a threat that your potential says you are. I mean, we always talk about potential. Potential is hidden ability. I don't want to see no more hidden ability. I want the ability to come to fruition.
Yeah. No, I get it there. You definitely want to see the results start to come into play. DeAndre Hopkins, Chig Okonkwo, what do you think is going to be the biggest factor for Will Levis, Malik Willis, whoever's out there, having an impact?
They got to make some plays, TD. You know, I know they haven't been getting the ball a lot, but because they're going a lot of 12 personnel that's one back two tights. But when they have the opportunity, they got to make some plays. You know, when we looked at some of the games, the couple of games that we saw, sometimes they've been open and they haven't made the big catch. But I think that, you know, the offensive coordinator's got to make sure that he puts those guys in position to make some plays because they're talented. You got Josh Wiley, you got Chig, you got some guys that can make some explosive plays downfield. But I want them to be in position to make the play. But then when they get in position to make the play, they got to make the play.
Yeah, that's the big thing. When those opportunities come to you, you have to. And case in point, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, right, against the Ravens, man, the ball is there for you. You got to make that catch for your quarterback. You got to do that. And it didn't happen. And those are the things that you can't afford to see. As far as this game is concerned, though, tell me your thoughts. I mean, is this a game the Falcons come in and take away? You know, Arthur Smith and the mustache? Is he coming to – he got the stash now, man. It looked crazy. But did they come here to Nissan Stadium and leave with a win?
And the reason why I say no is because of Mike Vrabel. And the reason why I say Mike Vrabel is because every time the odds are against Mike Vrabel, every time they say the quarterback can't do this, every time they say the offensive line can't do it, he just figured out a way to win. Let's talk about the playoffs a couple of years ago. They were banged up. They go into the Patriots, and they go into the Patriots and beat them. You know, then all of a sudden, they're playing the Kansas City Chiefs, all the odds against them, talking about the quarterback, talking about the, you know, offensive line, talking about receivers, all this stuff, and all of a sudden, they go in there to find a way to win. And the reason why I say the Titans are going to beat the Falcons is because they've been in this situation before, and Mike Vrabel always finds a way to win.
The Mike Vrabel special. That's what Chris Sanders is predicting. Listen, I'm not mad at that. I mean, we'll see. I don't know that they – I think Atlanta wins. I think Atlanta does win this game.
But see, the quarterback situation, Ritter, I mean, he's throwing picks now. He's got 6 touchdowns and 6 picks.
Yeah, this team just – how many turnovers have the Titans generated, though? I mean, like, they're really struggling. They're in, I would say, the bottom 5, I want to say, as far as turnovers generated per game.
I think like third to the last.
Yeah, so it's bad. That's an area that they have to get better.
Yeah, they got to get better.
Well, I don't know, man. Are you? It's alumni week. They, you know, you gonna come get your backpack?
Yeah, but I need to get my backpack, but I forgot the RSVP.
Oh man!
So I called in. It's like too late. Sorry.
Oh shoot! That's cold. That's cold. So all right. Well, I mean, I know some of the guys have said Nate Washington to be here. Ryan Mouton.
Yeah. Oh, that's my dude, man. That's my dude.
Oh, Nate Washington.
Oh man, that dude is crazy, man. I think he's all tournaments, but. Man, just a great wide receiver for the Tennessee Titans, man, but just a better dude, man. He looks like Juan from Boy to Man.
He does, actually.
Hey, before I go looking like somebody, man, I was watching Different Strokes, man. And, you know, Gary Coleman walked by and his brother walked by. And I thought, it was like, man, is that TD? I'm like, no, baby, that's Willis Jackson.
Yeah, that's crazy because I was watching Coming to America, right? And it's so funny because this is one of my favorite parts, right? Uh-huh. The guy came out. It was Arsenio Hall acting like a reverend. And he said, now coming out from the What's Going Down episode of That's My Mama, Mr. Randy Watson. And the dude came out, he had a jerry curl. And my daughter was like, I know this movie is old, but that can't be the guy that you do talking with TD with. I said, nah, that ain't Chris Sanders, that's Eddie Murphy.
Man, you are crazy. I'm out of here, man.
It's Bud Dupree, and I'm talking to TD.
Welcome to Atlanta, hammers and bows, back to the Mackinac,
yeah.
The clothes, adolescent.
Bud Dupree got his welcome to Atlanta. We'll see how his welcome back to Nashville goes when the Falcons come here to face the Titans. We're going to get into all that with my guy, someone who I've done so many shows with on ESPN Radio. He is my fellow ESPN NFL Nation reporter, Michael Rothstein, a guy who I've co-hosted on ESPN Radio a bunch of times. We get it in back and forth about Brock Purdy. We're going to leave that out of it. It is a cute story, though.
But why are we going to leave it out of it? He is not a cute story. He's one of the best quarterbacks playing right now, my man. He's the best one of the best quarterbacks in the league, TD. He might be a Pro Bowler. Watch out.
Yeah, the last 2 weeks might tell you differently. But nevertheless, Well, first of all, I want to thank you for your help on the Derrick Henry and Bijan Robinson story that I'm doing.
Yeah, man.
And great quotes from him. Derrick Henry got a really good kick, a big smile out of him when I told him, what Robinson has said. But let's start with Bijan and just what he went through in Tampa. What's the deal for spinning into this week?
Yeah, listen, I just got off the practice field here a little while ago. He is out there. He is moving. Everything seems to be fine. I imagine I'll talk with us here in Atlanta after practice when locker room opens. He had told me he was dealing with headaches over Saturday night into Sunday. That led him to be really limited. He said he never was considering not playing, but listen, I've had migraines before. I'm not saying it was a migraine, but I suffer from migraines, and I can tell you that when I have a migraine and I'm not an elite athlete, nowhere close, doing any sort of basic function is miserable. So he played 11 snaps. He had one carry at the end. He was largely used as a decoy otherwise. I don't get the sense that that will be the case this week. He, again, was out there at practice today. We'll see if he's even listed on the injury report. It does not seem to be anything that anyone has a lot of concerns over right now.
Okay, well, that's a good thing because, I mean, you want to see a guy able to go out there and go. With the way the Falcons have used him, it seems like it's more than just as a running back. The pass-catching aspect is in there. Well, what is your take on that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't even call him a running back. I call him offensive option because nice. That's what he is. He is an offensive option. They'll line him up a little bit everywhere. The numbers have shown that. He lines up out wide. He lines up in the slot. He lines up at running back. He'll even line up sometimes tight in the formation in a like traditional tight end spot, although obviously he is not a tight end. He just doesn't have the build for that. But they will try and use him in every way that they can. I think the only thing we haven't seen is him throw a pass so far. But he'll run the ball. He'll catch the ball. He has been a large part of their offense. He's got 404 yards rushing. He's got 198 or so yards receiving. He's playing well is a simple answer. Now, there was a lot of conversation of, well, why are you drafting a running back at number 8? Well, he's not a running back. He's been an integral part of their offense on a week-to-week basis.
Yeah, it's funny you mention that because that's the same way I respond to people who ask me why the Titans drafted a running back in the 3rd round of Tajay Spears. I just say he's a weapon. You know, so you see a lot of that. Moving on throughout that offense, 12 personnel package, Kyle Pitts, Jonnu Smith. What can the Titans fans expect to see in Jonnu Smith's return? And Kyle Pitts is no slouch either.
Yeah, Kyle Pitts is no slouch. There. And well done, by the way, referencing slouching in any phone call with me. Really appreciate that.
Inside joke.
listen, I'm just going to give you some of this. You know, every week I'm going to come in, I'm going to give you some of this. And just respect the process of what's going on here. And the process in Atlanta is very simple. They love using tight ends. That should surprise nobody since they saw Arthur Smith's offense in Tennessee. Jonnu Smith's having a really good year. After really not doing anything, not even getting a target in week 1, he has become a key part of their offense. He's caught a lot of third down passes, really moved the ball well. He's become somebody that can be reliable for Desmond Ridder. And Kyle Pitts, really over, I would say, the last 2 to 3 weeks, we've seen a Kyle Pitts that resembles more the Kyle Pitts that everybody saw in his rookie year in 2021. Mm. From where they're lining him up, which is more in the slot and out wide than at tight end, to some of his plays and some of what he has been able to do. Yeah, the touchdown production isn't there, but everything else is starting to come into form. He's running better routes. He's making difficult catches. He had one that was basically behind him the other day against Tampa. That was really, really pretty, but he is starting to look much more like the player he did in 2021. While the stats don't necessarily match up with that, I think he's got 298 yards receiving. It's just not that's not indicative of how he is playing at the moment because it took a few weeks for him to get going.
Yeah, for sure. And you got Drake London out there playing basketball at receiver. He does a great job with that. And we're talking to ESPN NFL Nation Falcons reporter Michael Rothstein, my guy, my fellow Mets fan.
Let's not talk about that.
Well, at least they're interviewing Craig Counsell, but let's stay on focus here. Bud Dupree,
the one who went there, man.
I know. Hey, listen, anytime we talk, it comes up. So you gotta stay with the tradition. But Bud Dupree, he's a former Titan. How has he been able to come in and help that Falcons defense?
Yeah, he's been a good edge setter. He's getting after the passer. He hasn't really put up massive sack numbers or anything like that, but he's healthy. Like, and that's been the big thing with him, right? Like, he wasn't healthy the last couple of years. He has been healthy now, and he still has some speed. He can still get after the quarterback. He's been a nice addition, kind of. He's part of their first, I would call it their first unit, their first line, to use hockey terms, because they rotate their defensive linemen and that one edge rusher spot almost like lines, like hockey lines. So he ends up being in that first group with Grady Jarrett, David Onyata, Calais Campbell, and he's been very effective off of that spot really all season long, even if the numbers haven't necessarily shown it.
That's really good to see. Another veteran addition. I mean, there's been a few, right? You got Jesse Bates.
There's a lot.
Calais Campbell. How has the defense really come out? I mean, A.J. Terrell is a premier corner. Jeff Okuda is uber talented. Richie Grant, really good coming out of, UCF, I believe it was.
Yeah, you know, so third year now.
There's a lot. D'Angelo Malone, there's a lot of talent there.
D'Angelo's not playing defense. Okay. I don't know if he's had a defensive snap all year. Maybe he's had three.
Gotcha. Okay.
Arnold Bacady's been there. No, Caden Ellis was a really big signing from New Orleans at Packer. And even when they lost Troy Anderson, who was one of their starting inside linebackers, Nate Lamon, who was an undrafted free agent from Colorado last year, has come in and really led the team in tackles and played exceedingly well. They just have a deep defense. Ryan Nielsen's doing a great job with this defense. It's a top 10 defense that they have created from top to bottom. And the big key is this, Teron. The defense has kept them in every game. Because even in some of the lopsided scores against Detroit and against Jacksonville, well, remember in Jacksonville, Ritter threw a pick six. And against Detroit, there was like the defense kept them in the game until they just were flat wore out. Mm-hmm. And they just had nothing else because the offense could do absolutely nothing. So the defense has been a massive surprise. And I would say the biggest reason that they are 4-3 right now and leading the NFC South.
Yeah, there you go right there. Another Titans tie. Well, actually, it's a Falcons 2 Titans. The Titans signed Marlon Davidson to be part of their practice squad. Even further than that, to close it out, Arthur Smith, one of my favorite coaches I've gotten to interact with. Man, I love Coach Art. Looking forward to seeing him this weekend. But how has he been in your time there? What are some good things that you've been able to pull from?
Oh, I mean, he's been great. His offense continues to be innovative. I find him to be hilarious in press conferences, but he's a good coach. There's never been any question. Look at the two teams last year. The first two years, they were undermanned, and he got the most out of them. 2 7-win seasons. Teams that he had no business getting 7-win seasons out of. He got them to play well. That is one of the biggest keys of what he has been able to do. And it's not only Arthur Smith. Dave Ragone will be coming back. Jerry Gray is their assistant head coach. You know, he had two coaching stints there and played for the Oilers for a year, all on alumni. Again, as Jerry Gray said today when I asked him about that, whether he thought that maybe he'd get like a quick third quarter like mention or something like that, he was like, nah, me, Frank Bush, and Steve Jackson, we're traitors now. So, I mean, there's a whole bunch of Titans connections on this Falcons staff, and you know, obviously with the players as well, between Bud Dupree, Logan Woodside will be the third quarterback, who will dress with, you know, only play on break glass in case of emergency situation. Like, there are a whole bunch of little connections between these two franchises, of course, starting with Arthur Smith and Mike Vrabel. Arthur Smith did throw this out there, Heron, and I thought it was hilarious. He had mentioned a couple times that maybe they would do a vest swap after the game. And obviously he was joking because Arthur Smith has a very dry sense of humor. But I was like, because we're talking to Mike Vrabel tomorrow. And he was like, so I was like, well, what happens if we ask Mike Vrabel and he says he'll do it? And Art had no response to that. But I'm hoping that Vrabel, just to call Art out, says that, yes, he'll absolutely vest swap and they do a vest swap after the game. I personally am rooting for that just because I like chaos and hilarity, sir.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. That'll be dope. Well, listen, man, I know you got to run. It's always great getting to catch up. Make sure you absolutely call me when you touch down. We will get together, man.
Sounds good, my man. Have a great week.
All right, take care. So that was Michael Rothstein. It's always fun times talking with him, man. That guy cracks me up. But, yeah, man, it was great to get to go over this show again. We have a lot going on when you look at this Titans team. So, man, just keep your head up, right? That's all I could tell you. Shout out to Michael Rothstein. Shout out to Chris Sanders. Hopefully when we come back on next week, Derrick Henry will still be a member of this team. We got a story on Henry and Bijan Robinson posting, so make sure you check that out. Make sure you check out Whiteboard Wednesday. That is a good opportunity to see a way that DeAndre Hopkins and Tajay Spears could be used out of their typical positions. You'll want to look at that as well. In the meantime, definitely appreciate David James over there making it happen.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate each of you for tuning in and continuing to rock with us. It does not go unnoticed. Our listens are up. Our views are up, and we thank you for that. For those of you who haven't done so yet, search Talking with TD, subscribe, rate, review. We appreciate you.